you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Tell you what, Lewis, it is absolutely hot as hell here today. It's like 93 degrees. It's going to be in the 90s for the next week. I've been bitching like crazy about the cold weather here. Not that it's been that cold, but by California standards, bitching about the weather. But it's finally summer, even though it's spring. But you know what I'm saying? The weather is here. We are smiling. We are happy. I've got the air conditioning on. I'm still sweating like a pig. But it is Thursday afternoon. How you doing, Lewis?
It's fucking freezing right now. It's 40 degrees outside right now in New York City.
Really?
I hate it. I don't know why it's so cold.
That's a little over freezing. What is it? What is freezing? 38,
32,
right?
Yeah, 32 Fahrenheit 32. Is freezing. So it's not actually freezing, but it's really cold. And so my neighborhood, my neighborhood's gone to shit now. It's really bad, okay? It's a gentrified neighborhood, but
I thought you live in like big swinging gentrified upscale Harlem these days.
No, Harlem is very nice, and it be gentrified is nice. You get a little bit of culture. It still feels like Harlem, but all of the people that have moved into the Harlem area that have gentrified the area, no, they're pussies. They're inside. They're
same thing. Same thing.
They're not doing anything except fucking staying in. The other people.
That is what you're supposed to do.
Right. They're the people that are really ghetto don't give a shit. So the whole neighborhood now, if you go out, it's just really fucking ghetto people that are just screaming in the streets. I see almost fights all the time in my neighborhood. It never happened before, and it's happening so much now. This happened, there was a woman screaming at another woman in the street, and they were going at it for like 20 full minutes, and I threw a tomato at them. Out my window.
You're actually throwing moldy fruit from your lofty penthouse apartment. Yeah. I mean, how you've changed, Lewis. You look at you now, mocking the little people with their little riffraff, the little disagreements in the street that are so petty to you. You know, it's like you are just involved in high level, big business, international conglomerates. You're like these peasants down here. Excuse me while I throw a moldy tomato at these people because I don't care for the way they are carrying on right now.
That's one way to put it. Other people might, you know, look at it as me committing a crime and assaulting somebody with fruit. And obviously, I'm just kidding. I would never actually throw a tomato at a female screaming outside of my window for 20 minutes.
I definitely would. I'd throw a fucking box of tomatoes.
If they were
outside my house for 20 minutes shouting like a motherfucker and I was trying to get to sleep, a tomato. You got me saying fucking tomato. Shame on me. Tomato. A tomato would be the least of their issues. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, here's my problem is I also can't, I can't throw for shit. Like I never had a dad. So it was just sad. They just watched a tomato roll like 30 feet from them.
You know, it's funny because I had that with Lucas last Saturday. It was a nice day again. We're in the garden and, you know, we're just sitting around, we're getting bored, and there's a football there. I'm like, hey, Lucas, come on, let's throw the ball a bit, you know? And oh my God. I mean, he did literally start crying at one point, but he did not want to do it. And he can't really throw a ball, right? And by the way, I'm no expert at throwing an American football. You know, there's a certain way to throw it. You know, you put that finger on the laces, the elbow first and whatnot. But I'm like, I'm trying to show him how to do it, right? Because at some point, he's going to have to throw a ball. Do I ever think he's going to be a football player? No, I don't. But he might be in a social environment where they're at a park and the guys are just throwing a ball around and he's going to be able to catch it and throw it. And he doesn't want to get bullied and people go, oh my God, look at look at Lucas, man. This pussy can't even throw a ball. So I'm trying to show him how to throw a ball properly, and then he starts crying. Right? I'm like, Lucas, what are you
doing? This is the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing right now, Lucas.
Yeah, we're supposed to be bonding. You're supposed to have a smile like on your face. The dog is like galloping past with a big stick in his mouth, all happy. Rebecca's hanging washing on the line. And me and you are throwing a ball back and forth. We're smiling. We're rejoicing. We're bonding. We're having quality time. But no, the little shit was crying. He's like, oh. So I said, Lucas, go sit over there. I'll be over in 5 minutes, okay? Take his seat, take some deep breaths, and just think about your emotions. Think about what's going on right now, because there's no reason for you to be standing there crying right now because we're throwing a ball. And God bless him, he went and sat down, got his shit together. You know, I took my belt off, I gave him 3 good whips, and he never complained again, so we were all good.
Can you actually throw a ball?
Yeah, I throw a ball better than you.
I don't know if that's true. I mean,
define throw a ball. Yes, I can throw a ball. Of course. What do you take me for?
I can't actually throw a ball. I can't throw a football at all. I can sort of do like a sidearm, like whip thing, but it's bad. It's not good at all. Oh, and also I will say, Michael Bisping, if you guys follow Michael Bisping on Instagram, you might have seen him bragging. We had a debate on the last show about if we ended up getting stranded on Fight Island naked, how we would survive.
Yeah.
And he said that all we would need would be a magnifying glass to get started on fire. So then he took a video of him apparently trying to prove me wrong and starting what he is calling a fire with a magnifying glass. And he did what everybody did, which is make a little bit of smoke come from a leaf with a magnifying glass.
Within seconds of having that magnifying glass, locating a dry leaf on the floor. It didn't take long. My gardeners are shit. I see it. I get a magnifying glass within seconds. Sizzle, burn. My point being, if you got a collection of the said dry leaves, put them in some kind of receptacle, right? Put them on top of one another, stack them, get the magnifying glass, boom, there you go. Before you know it, you're throwing another shrimp on the barbie. You know, you got so much fire, you don't know what to do with. Do you stay warm with it? Do you dry your clothes? Or perhaps cook a fish, which is what you said on Instagram. You said, good luck cooking a fish with that. I will cook a fucking fish with a magnifying glass. Okay,
It was nothing. You have to turn it into an actual fire. That's the bet. You have to go and have fun. Hey. I will bet you $1,000. I will give you 1 hour. You get 1 hour with a magnifying glass to make fire. It's gonna be a nonstop video, no editing. Don't get fucking Brandtendo to come in and do some fucking editing tricks. I know what you're thinking already. One video shot, $1,000.
Whoa, $1,000. I'm fucking in, baby boy. It's Callum's birthday on Saturday. We would be having a party. We would be having a gathering, but we're not instead, what we're all going to do, we're going to watch me make a fire with a magnifying glass. And Callum's going to be like, Dad, this isn't really the birthday party that I had in mind. Son, this is the only entertainment you can get right now. Okay, watching me start a fire with a magnifying glass. And Lewis, you are wrong. I will do that. Okay. Right. I won't collect the $1,000. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not that cruel. I know that I am right. I am correct. I will not cash in on your foolishness, on your stupidity. Let's be honest. Let's call it what it is.
I'm excited to see you start an actual fire. He tagged me like he's proving me wrong. I'm like, that isn't shit. It's a little bit of smoke.
Yeah. Smoke. Where's the smoke come from? Smoke. We won't spend too long.
There's actually a saying: where there's smoke, there's
fire. Exactly. or if there isn't fire there, it's on the fucking way. Okay. Yeah. Simple as that. You know, funnily enough, it is Callum's birthday on Saturday. 19 years old in this quarantine, and I'm trying to do something nice for him. I was saying to Rebecca, what we should try and do is one of these Zoom parties. Right. And I thought we got family in Malaysia, we got family in Australia, we got family in England. We could all do like a big Zoom party, right? And we could all, you know, sing happy birthday together. Well, you're just like Rebecca. That's what she said.
She's right. It sucks. Why are we trying to just say, hey, you know what? There was no fucking birthday party this year. This is the year that there's no birthday party. Welcome to life. Have a shitty birthday party, it almost reminds me, it would make me depressed. It would actually make it even worse.
What's better to have? No birthday party or a shitty birthday party?
No birthday party. It shines a light on how shitty it is.
Not a birthday party, but just an attempt of a celebration on the day that he was born 19 years ago. A day that changed my life, Lewis. But you don't want to commemorate that? You don't want to make your firstborn feel special? What, simply because the Zoom meeting isn't up to the lofty standards of the Gomez?
It just sucks. It's depressing. I mean, look, here's the thing. Me and you barely have charisma over this. Imagine seven people who don't even broadcast professionally. It's a fucking nightmare.
Well, this is the thing, because we were involved in one recently, and it was kind of awkward. You know what I mean? It was a little bit awkward. But all I want is everyone to get together, and we can all sing happy birthday. Like, his girlfriend lives in Texas. His girlfriend's family, they can all be there. They can come on the screen for a minute. Woo, hi, everybody. And then we can all, like, try and sing happy birthday, but there'll be microscopic delay, so it'll be kind of out of sync. But whatever, we'll sing happy birthday, give him his cake, and there you go. Fuck off. Go to your room, Callum. We celebrated your birthday. Now shut up about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I would say if you're doing that, like a simple happy birthday, you get a few family friends on, his check on, fine. But don't make it a party. That's just sad. There's actually parties that are happening right now, like dance clubs, where you pay an admission and there's a fucking DJ. DJ Mikey B. By the way, Mike, you could be making money right now hosting Zoom dance parties with 300 people. DJ Mikey B, DJs, everyone hooks up their speakers. They set up their own.
Listen, this
lighting.
Is not a homophobic comment, okay? But that's fucking gay.
Yeah, that is
simple gay. As that. It's gay. I am number one. If you're going to go to one of these nightclubs, right, and you're going to pay your admission. For what? To sit there in front of your,
I'll take it a step
your computer naked.
Bisping, if you go to a real nightclub and pay an admission to go watch a DJ, you're fucking gay. No, so if you're doing it on Zoom, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, listen. If you go to a nightclub and queue up to get in, you're also gay.
Yeah, dude.
I gave up queuing up to get in nightclubs years ago, and I mean years ago. In fact, I don't think I ever did, because back in the early days when I was DJing, DJs always get a little bit of leeway, and you kind of get used to just walking to the front of the queue, you know what I mean? So it's been a long time, but what's going on in the world? I'll tell you what's going on before we get into MMA stuff. Today is a day for great celebration, Lewis. Today is a day for the world to rejoice, for the people that brought civilization to the Western world, the people that developed this fine language that we talk. Today is St. George's Day, Lewis, the patron saint of England. Okay, St. George.
St. George St. Pierre?
Today we celebrate the great St. George.
Who the fuck is St. George?
I have no idea. He's the patron saint of England. Who's the patron saint of America? Do you even have one? You uncouth barbarians, you in your Western land.
I don't believe in fucking fairy tales, all right, Bisping? I get it. Fucking in England, you guys live in a world where hobbits and dragons exist, but we're in America where we fucking, it's reality. We live in reality, okay?
Yeah, reality with your president is a reality show guy. Yeah, so, yeah, it's all about reality. What are you yeah-duding at, Brian, there in the background?
Brian, we hear you.
Somebody else is in my house. I meant to tell you about the Immaculate Conception is the patron saint of America.
The Immaculate Conception is the patron. The Immaculate Conception is an Immaculate Conception. Act. It's not a person.
It's not even real. The Immaculate Conception is hilarious.
I mean, like, religion isn't real anyway.
Well, the religion's real.
Oh, easy, easy, easy. Way to just, you know, divide the audience there.
Brian,
I mean, come on.
Ease up, bro. We respect everyone's religions.
Brian, have an open mind to this. You're saying the Virgin Mary wasn't immaculately concepted, whatever
that
means.
Say that again.
Probably sneaking around on Joseph.
Immaculately?
Where's the immaculate? Immaculately. She wasn't immaculately concepted. Conceived. Believed.
Immaculately Culkin. Macaulay Culkin. What are we talking about?
I have no idea. This has gone off the rails already.
Yeah, I looked into this, by the way. She was supposed to be 12. Joseph, her husband, like fucking 80.
Again, wrong on many levels, but this would have been better suited to the Easter period. Okay, we're out of Easter. We're talking about St. George, the patron saint of England, not the Immaculate Conception, not the Virgin Mary cheating around on Joseph. Let's be honest. She sounded like she was a bit of a hussy. Joseph, listen, let me tell you what happened. It was God. I didn't cheat on you. It was God. And if Joseph believes that, he's a moron.
Imagine your chick came. She was pregnant. She was like, no. It was
God.
I'm a virgin. It was totally God.
Oh, God. Hey, listen, you know, people believe what they
want. All I know is that Jesus would have been aborted with a coat hanger.
Whoa.
What?
Easy, Lewis. Come on.
Too far? Shut
it's
up.
A little bit too far. It is. It is. You know what I mean? You're disrespecting the Jesus type. Well,
you would have just taken care of that baby?
I wouldn't have murdered an innocent baby with a coat hanger.
You barely take care of the Bispings, and they're your real family.
The best pings or the best
pings? The best pings.
Now, fuck those. They got coronavirus. They're coming over here.
They started. Okay.
They zero. Started the fucking dirty Baiyan bastards. Not Chinese, by the way. My family. Anyway, it is St. George's Day. We'll leave that there.
But wait, why? You said were people offended by St. George's Day?
No, so it has this weird connotation that it's racist to celebrate St. George's Day in England now. Because I think, I don't know too much about it, believe it or not, I don't know too much about these far-right groups. Like there's the EDL, the English Defence League, and then there was some other stuff throughout, you know, like the 80s and 90s. So it used to be the Union Jack was kind of seen as an emblem that like the skinheads kind of using, and the EDL, they took the St. George's flag. So a lot of times now, unfortunately, because a lot of people just want to celebrate the fact that they're proud to be British or English, you know what I mean? They fly the flag. But now, yeah, unfortunately, it is deemed as somewhat racist or extremist these days because it is kind of associated with those extreme groups.
That's interesting. I mean, I can't relate because I don't really know exactly how to, you know, make it relate here. But I can say this much. It's kind of weird now. If you're American and you have an American flag, you're sort of like, it sort of has a connotation like it's like negative. Like you're a fucking...
Really? Because I see that everywhere in America.
I'm proud to be an American. I truly am. Like I love this country. And I feel like even saying that, you get people will look at you like you're a fucking Trump supporting fucking right wing. Patriotism is looked down upon right now from people on the
left.
Sure.
I agree for sure. I mean, it goes back to the point what I just said in the UK. Yeah. But in the US, to be honest, I mean, you guys are very, very patriotic. I would say some of the most, probably the most patriotic nation in the world. And good for you. I think that's a beautiful thing. But I kind of disagree with your point, what you said about the flag, because I go, you know, if I drive around Orange County or wherever I am here in Southern California, I see American flags outside people's houses everywhere I go. They're very, very proud to display that flag.
Really? Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's New York. I would feel like the same thing in California. Maybe it's a little different because, you know, people, it's a little different. If somebody has an American flag in their fucking car window here, I mean, people look at them like they are fucking assholes, like they are right wing. If you bring up things like free speech or, you know, constitutional rights, anything like that, if you start bringing up any of that, it sort of has this connotation like, oh, well, what are you? And I just feel like it's sort of weird because
I was going to say, I guess the point that they would argue from their side, and again, I'm trying to extract what you're trying to say, is that they would see the flag, just like in England, they would see the flag, or in America, they see the stars and stripes, the Star Spangled Banner, pardon me, and they would equate that to somebody that has...
supports Trump, probably.
Supports Trump, supports restrictive government. Immigration and things like that, you know what I mean? And you know, against immigration, basically. So I mean, I kind of get it, but it is ridiculous and it is a shame because it shouldn't be about that. You should be allowed to celebrate your own country, the country that you live in, that you were raised in, that you're from. You know, that should not be an issue.
It's a generational thing because I feel like when we were kids, we were all sort of taught like, yeah, this is a great country. You know, these colors don't run, stars and stripes. Like you sort of had a sense of pride. And then there became it's very polarizing and we won't get political, but that's almost my problem with Trump. Not even specifically anything beyond policy or anything like that. It's just how polarizing it is. It's like, I want to fucking love my neighbors. I just want to like people. Like we don't need to be constantly at odds. And it's fucking bizarre that we're just constantly at odds about everything. No matter what, it always becomes politicized. It sucks. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I retweeted something yesterday which actually said, I disagree with my friends all the time. Guess what? We're still friends. Yep. You know, so you're allowed to have a difference of opinion and still get along with people. But I got to say, Lewis, what are you doing? Right? Before, ladies and gentlemen, before we started the show, we had a little call and we said, listen, we're not going to discuss the coronavirus at all. But now you're discussing Trump. You're discussing politics. You don't want to separate the audience by discussing the coronavirus, but you're going hard on racism, immigration, and Trump.
I didn't say I don't want to separate the audience. That wasn't it. I said I'm getting sick of having the same conversation about coronavirus every I do 12 hours of podcasting a week. It's just nauseating. There's nothing new. It's the same shit.
Let's talk about the news. Jesus Christ, I like to watch the news. I want to stay abreast of what's happening in the world, but it's like coronavirus. There is other things happening in the world, right? I guarantee there's still shit to report on, but right now nobody's interested in anything because they want to hear the latest on the coronavirus. So that is very annoying as well.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and thank Naked Nutrition, which is such an incredible company. I love their protein. If you're sitting at home right now and you're not taking advantage of the fact that you have nothing else to do, now there's no excuse. I have no time to get in shape. That's just not true. You have nothing but time if you're most Americans right now. And Naked Nutrition makes some incredible products that makes working out just a little bit easier. You want to have great products. You want to have natural products. And Naked Nutrition has some of the best on the market.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, Lewis, you know, people do have nothing but time right now. Of course, not everybody has a home gym, but what I've been doing is doing a lot of circuits, right? And so me and Rebecca, we go in the garage. I get it. Not everybody has a garage, but they normally have some kind of garden or an outside space. Don't say you don't, because I know you don't, because you're la-di-da. You live in New York City in a fucking high-rise penthouse apartment with your plethora of assistants. But normal people, the normal everyday people, tend to have a backyard, a garage, a communal area.
This is what a brilliant psychopath Michael Bisping is. He somehow made it that I'm la-di-da because I don't have an outdoor garden area.
Yeah. Anyway, listen. Here's the thing. You can do circuits. You can have a 45 seconds of jump rope, 45 seconds of push-ups, 45 seconds of sit-ups, 45 seconds of sprints. You know what I mean? Just do circuits. So there's always time to work out. But once you have done your workout, you want to recover properly. And as we said before, there's lots of supplement products on the market, a lot of nutrition products, as we know. But a lot of them, when you look at the ingredient list, they're very, very long. Lots of chemicals, lots of stuff. You just don't even know what it is. That's where Naked Nutrition comes in. That's it. One ingredient, which is grass-fed whey protein. No artificial sweeteners, no GMO, no growth hormone, no soy, no gluten. No artificial crap, basically, that you don't know what it is, so you don't know what's going in your body. Naked Nutrition is quite simply nutrition with nothing to hide. Also, they do a variety of products. As I said, they do the protein, of course, but they've got Naked Energy, they got collagen, they got all the typical products that you would expect from a supplement brand. And more importantly, it's the ingredients. There's no bullshit in these supplements.
Yeah, and not only that, okay, not only do you get this amazing, unbelievable stuff that you know what you're putting in your body, all natural, but we're going to give you a discount. Everyone's trying to save a little bit of money right now. Well, guess what? Go to nakednutrition.com. That is NKDnutrition.com, NKDnutrition.com, and get the products that are right for you. And if you use the promo code Bisping, you're going to save 15% off of your entire order. 15%, that's going to go a long way. Right now, do it. Go to nakednutrition.com, nkdnutrition.com. Use that promo code Bisping. Save 15%. And go live a healthier life. All right, where were we?
All right, we've got a lot to discuss today on the show. Where should we start? There was Harrington did a good job of compiling the notes. Lewis, where should we steer this ship?
Why don't we talk about this? I mean, May 9th, it's officially UFC 249, and it's happening. It's officially happening still right now, and apparently they have an official location for it. Harry, can you fill us in a little bit about these supposed rumors?
So the update there, it's not going to be 250. It's going to be UFC 249, like you said, and like it was previously reported, the backup of Florida is going to be used. They didn't give a venue for it, but the state of Florida is going to host the event on May 9th.
Why does Harrington feel like he's coming at us through the TV set from the movie Poltergeist? You know what I mean? Like he's coming, he sounds like he's talking to us from another dimension, a parallel universe, maybe where people aren't quite as smart as what regular humans are.
Walk toward the light, Harrington. Toward the light.
What was the name of that kid in Poltergeist? That
freaky little Caroline.
Caroline.
She died.
I have exorcised the demons.
You know, she died on set.
Did she?
Dude, the last scene of the movie where he's holding her, it's not her. It's a different little girl. She fucking died while making the movie.
Who, the kid? The kid, or the old woman?
No. The kid died. Not on set. She died while making the movie, right? Or was it on set? I'm sure Harrington or Brian know the
rumor. Yeah. Because they've just got tons of fucking knowledge on Exorcist and the death right at their fingertips. They're ready to go.
I bet you they know.
Oh, but hold on a minute. I normally, we have it planned. We have it in our notes. We have UFC 249. We have this. We have John Jones. Right? I say, Harrington, what's the deal there? And it still takes him 20 seconds to fucking lean forward in his chair, okay? And like roll his eyes internally, take the sandwich out of his mouth, put his beer down, and be like, oh, God, here we go. But non-MMA topics, a movie from the 80s where somebody died, you're just saying, just like that, the touch of a button, boom, they've got stats for days. Give it a try. Give it a shot.
You ramped for 3 full minutes, so both of them just went on Wikipedia, and they know the entire history now.
Yeah, but that was the whole idea of the joke, because then you would have gone to them, and they would have come out with a lot of stuff, but then you ruined it, Lewis. You're a comedian. You should know this stuff.
Well, I thought they were just going to have the information. Harrington,
what can you tell us about this young, poor, tragic soul that died in the movie Poltergeist?
Well, she passed away during the filming of Poltergeist 3. They were able to finish the movie. She was pronounced dead at the Children's Hospital of San Diego from an internal bowel issue she had since birth.
She shit herself to death? It's fucked up.
And why do you feel now the need to stream from wherever she was talking to us from? Anyway, enough of Poltergeist or Exorcist. The UFC 249. Harrington, he starts off the note. It says, May 9th has a location, and it will be UFC 249. It's still going ahead. Nobody canceled UFC 249. That event that was known as UFC 249, yes, okay, that was postponed, Khabib versus Tony, whatever. But 249 didn't disappear. They weren't just going to jump from 248 to 250. That was always going to be there.
They've done that, I think, 2 separate times in UFC history where they've completely scrapped an event and they canceled the number.
But that wasn't alluded to on this occasion.
Fuck you, Harrington. Go fuck yourself, Harrington. How about
that? It wasn't alluded to. I don't know what your fucking point is. But so Florida is the location. No, I think
what he was saying was that May 9th was supposed to be 250, so now they're pushing it forward. But I don't really understand why Florida is allowed. I guess it's just the government. It's state by state, right?
Because they're fucking morons. But I like it because I want to see fights.
I have a question, though. So my understanding is if the commission is not allowing fights to happen, in the past, wasn't the UFC and like fighters sort of held responsible for not adhering to the commission's like whims, even though they're not even fighting in Vegas? Because we've heard this in the past where somebody gets suspended for steroids or whatever it is.
And then they fight out of the country, then they will be held responsible. But right now, I mean, I know what you're saying, but it's not like it's a federal thing, right? Where typically what you're saying is somebody tests positive for steroids in Las Vegas, okay? So they're banned from competing in America. But if they could get out of that, they could go fight in Japan, England, wherever, because that commission has no jurisdiction in those countries. But what will happen is generally they'll add extra time onto your suspension because you never respected the punishment that you were given. However, this is different. No, because, excuse me, pardon me. This is different because it's state by state, right? So you can't really say who's right and who's wrong. It's not a federal thing. There's no big boss. The government, you know, the federal government aren't getting involved. So if Florida say you can fight, then Florida say you can fight.
Yeah. It's interesting. We're going to see what's going to happen. I think that, you know, what's going to happen, the problem with it, and we saw this happen with the WWE, is if somebody tests positive, regardless, it's going to sort of shine a negative light on the UFC. Wasn't there a fighter that just tested positive?
Yeah. So we'll fast forward to point number 11. I got to get up get something on the chest here with Harrington as well. Point 11, I think it was. Lyman Good is the fighter in question. Harrington, just read out verbatim. Just read out verbatim what you put there in note 11 for us, please.
All right. Give me one sec, Mike. Shit. All right.
Take your time. Take your time.
I saw the response that you gave me, and I'm a little nervous now. All right. Lyman Good becomes the first fighter currently on the UFC roster to test positive for COVID-19. He says he was actively training and sparring while feeling the effects of the virus before testing positive. His trainer also contracted the virus, but none of his teammates did, which calls into question just how contagious this thing might be in a gym environment, dot, dot, dot.
How does it call into question how contagious this thing may be in a gym environment? Because he has coronavirus, his coach got coronavirus, his girlfriend at home got coronavirus. So I know which way Lewis leans on this argument, and we know which direction you're leaning to get a little piece of Lewis's cock, okay? But you don't have to try and like skew my judgment on how we're discussing the coronavirus, okay? Which calls into question how Harrington now is a scientist, because not everybody in the gym got coronavirus. So now, in Harrington's mind, this calls into question how contagious this thing really is. I mean, we're being lied to, right, Harrington?
I wasn't necessarily saying that, Mike. I'm just saying maybe these guys can get some sparring partners, where initially it would seem that if you're in, you know, if you guys shared a locker room within 3 weeks of each other, you're going to get the coronavirus. That's what, you know, it seemed like before. Now it seems like you might actually be able to train with people and not necessarily get them sick.
We see how uppity Harrington's getting right now.
There's a very good chance that you are going to get them sick, get yourself sick, then go home, get your grandma sick, get your nana sick, get your sister sick, and maybe some innocent people die. Maybe some elderly people die.
Maybe grandma and Nana shouldn't go to the gym. That's all I'm saying. It's maybe grandma can stay out of the gym.
Grandma shouldn't go to the gym. If I see grandma in the gym, I'm kicking her out.
I'm going to kick her fucking head off her shoulders.
I said, listen, bitch, you want to come in here? You want to go? Listen, you got to pay the price. Put your shin pads on, put your mouthpiece on, and let's fucking go. I'm taking no prisoners. If I ever went into a gym and there was someone shit there, I'd be like, get out. I'm training for a fight. No, listen, grandma's not going to be in the gym. But Lyman Good's coach, God bless his soul, he got coronavirus. What about his grandma that he lives with? She's very weak. She's been on life support 3 times. He's going to take it home. She's going to die. Okay. Lyman Good's coach mom is dead. I'm sorry. I don't even know who Lyman Good's coach is. But what got us onto this? I have no idea other than the fact I wanted to ridicule Harrington for a minute.
Well, just the fact that they're moving into Florida, and Florida is the only place that's allowing things like this to happen right now, I believe, right? The only place in the United States anyway.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, and as I said, I do want to see fights, so I'm not bitching about it. I'm just having a laugh like we do on this podcast. But they also deemed bowling alleys essential as well. No, so bowling didn't. Alleys. And I saw somebody on Instagram talking about it, making fun of it. You know, because like bowling alleys, you all share shoes. You know what I mean? Where people have sweaty feet. That's not smart. You all share balls. You put your finger into those tiny...
I don't know what you're doing at a bowling alley.
It's like, hey, we're sharing holes here, buddy.
We're sharing holes. We're sharing balls.
Dirty Mac and the boys. Let's go. No, but you know what I'm saying? You're putting your fingers into those holes. There's all kind of liquid and
DNA. You have a different definition of bowling in England.
No, you know, and you got to share shoes, bodily fluids, you know. I mean, I don't know if that's essential, but the fighting, for sure, I sign off on that. That is essential. Yeah. I need some entertainment, Lewis. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I'll beat a dead horse here. I think you have to look at it case by case. I think you have to look in areas. I mean, the fact that upstate New York has the same...
You said no corona. That's not what we're talking about.
Well, you're talking about it. That's what it is.
We're talking about the fights, and the fights happening
there. You're talking about bowling. You're just talking about bowling and it being an essential business. Michael Bisping, guilty.
You talked about how Florida made it allowable for the fights, and I'm saying, yes, they have a habit of doing that because they made...
Order. Order on the court. Michael Bisping is hereby guilty of bringing up the coronavirus when we're not supposed to.
Jeez Louise. Oh, my God. So, yeah, anyway, listen, May 9th going ahead. We know about that. Dominic Cruz, Henry Cejudo, right? Rosa Struke.
Amanda Nunes is off, right?
Amanda Nunes is off, yeah. And Felicia Spencer. I was a little surprised at that one, to be honest. But she did the right thing. I understand it. She's saying... just from the headlines I've seen, I haven't delved into it too much, but she couldn't do a full training camp and she didn't want to take the risk. Well, right? Am I correct, yes. Harrington?
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, you're spot on. She didn't want to take a fight on short notice with a world championship on the line.
Makes sense. And you know, the we could talk all the shit we want, but there is a limitation of training partners right now. There's a limitation. You can't tell me that everybody's willing to come out and fucking exchange bodily fluids in a gym somewhere. It's probably most people aren't.
You want to see the workouts I've got going on in my garage right now, okay? Okay, listen. I'll get anyone ready for anything.
Can I join the Michael Bisping class? I would do
come
it
down
daily.
Today, Rebecca and I, circuits, 8 stations, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off, 5 times round, 48 minutes of nonstop hard work, a lot of grunting, a lot of sweating.
Bring it on down. I'll do it. I'll do the Michael Bisping, Rebecca Bisping, grunting, sweating workout. Let's go.
But not right now. I'll talk you through it some other time. But yeah, going back to Amanda Nunes. Listen, Amanda Nunes is pound for pound the best woman in the world, probably the most dominant female fighter we've ever seen. I don't see anybody beating her anytime soon. And one side of me is kind of, my initial thought was like, come on, Amanda. We all know, and no disrespect to Felicia Spencer, she's a very, very tough lady. She's a true 145er. She gave Cyborg some problems. She went the distance with Cyborg. She's a tough, big, strong girl. But I think it's fair to say that Nunes would be a gigantic favorite. Mm. But that said, the legacy that Amanda has, all those accolades that I just said, greatest ever, all that, blah, 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 blah. If she were to get a beat of Felicia, that's all out the window. So I understand what she's doing. She's a very successful woman. She's a 2-weight division champion. She's not going to be hurting for the money. That's a fact, right? So she's like, you know what? I don't need the money right now. I'm going to wait for this to pass and have a proper training camp. And whilst it is disappointing as a fan, because it is disappointing, yeah, all right, I get it. I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, we're only 2 weeks and 2 days out, right? 2 weeks and 2 days out. And it's been, you know, at best, it has been up in the air whether or not these fights are happening. At best, now it's looking pretty good, but up until a week ago it was like Fight Island, this place, that place, April 24th through April 19th. The amount of back and forth, you cannot blame anybody for not wanting to fight under those parameters. The only thing I'll say is that the conditions are the same for everybody, so it's not like Amanda Nunes was under some like disadvantage. It's raining for everybody right now, and it's not great for everybody right now. So with that in mind, she should be able to just win that fight fairly easily.
Yeah. So like, you know, I mean, I was always of the impression that with certain fighters, all I needed to do was get fit and I'll win that fight. I could just, you know, for some fights, I was like, I don't even need to train for this, really. I just need to go for a few runs, get in shape, make weight, and I'll still beat this guy regardless. And, you know, as I said, never underestimate anybody, and Felicia deserves respect, but Amanda would be a massive favorite in that. But as I say, there is more to it. I think I saw something online recently. I think one of them's pregnant. I think her girlfriend, is it Nina Ansarov? I apologize if I'm getting that wrong, but I think a girlfriend might be pregnant. I think I saw something there. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but I don't think I am. So think about this. So she's going to leave. She's going to go to the gym. She's going to come to contact with all these different types of people. And then she's coming home to a pregnant girlfriend. That's another thing as well. You know what I'm saying? It's an extra.
Immaculate conception. I don't even know how that works.
Oh, God, the immaculate conception is all over the place. Jesus is fucking real. Just ask Amanda Nunes.
Felicia Spencer's girlfriend is giving birth to Jesus right now. She needs to fight.
I don't even know if Amanda Nunes' girlfriend is pregnant, but I think I did see that somewhere, right? And it definitely is an immaculate conception because Jesus Christ. But yeah, you know, it just makes it difficult. Listen, you know, Amanda Nunes is the best. She's not ducking anybody. Just trying to do what she thinks smart. I tell you who is looking for a fight, who said this week that he wants to fight 3 times pretty soon on Fight Island, is Tyron Woodley. He's been in the news quite a lot recently. If we recall, supposed to fight Leon Edwards in London, that got cancelled. Then he wanted to fight Colby. Then this guy, Gilbert Burns, came on and he was calling him out. But he's been talking a lot of shit. And now he finds himself involved in a war of words with Israel Adesanya. Harrington, do you want to shed some light on this? Break this down for our listeners, please.
Yeah, so he went on his Instagram live and said that, you know, he's looking for 3 or 4 fights in the welterweight division. And when I feel like I can comfortably say that I've wiped everybody out, then I want to go up and see what Izzy's about. I don't think he's as dope as everybody is saying. So Israel Adesanya did not like that at all and responded with some Nigerian slang that I had a hard time deciphering.
No. Harrington.
Easy.
Say the Nigerian slang in your best Nigerian accent, a man, right about now, because he's not from Jamaica, man. But, you know, that could be seen as a little bit racist. So don't just edit that bit out, man. But give me your best Nigerian, boy. I don't know how they talk in Nigeria. Fuck me, I'm going to get fired. That's not how they talk in Nigeria.
From what? Life? The Michael Bisping Enterprises? What are they going to do? Nobody's working. imagine you said something so bad that we were like bisping, you know what? We can no longer have you on the podcast.
I'd be like,
we fired Michael Bisping from his own podcast.
Me? You're firing me. It should be the other way around. But anyway, so Tyron Woodley and Adesanya going at it. Harrington, do your best Israel impression for us whilst you read out his verbiage.
LOL, see me, see trouble. Voila, just they find me anyhow. At T Woodley, can't even deal with one Nigerian nightmare. At Kamaru Usman.
This is racist.
He was at 38%. Ooh boy, sit down before I lash you. Nasha, well.
I kind of like it. I think it works. I was right there. I was in Cape Town last year. Okay. Cape Town, Nigeria, different places. But still, in Africa, I'm telling you, it's taking me back. Just give me some more, Harrington. Just give me a little bit more taste.
He didn't say anything else. Fuck.
Fuck's sake. Just fucking play along.
Tyron Woodley, man. I'm gonna.
Whoa. Easy. It's taking me back to when the guys tried to rob me at gunpoint. That's how good Harrington's impression is. I'm there. It's the middle of the night. I'm in Cape Town. I've got a gun in my face. I'm drunk. What do I do?
You can hear everyone celebrating at 7 o'clock.
Oh, really? Let me hear.
Can you hear? I have to go. I'll go over to the window and open it. Hold on.
Nah, it's not that good.
Right, well, fuck it.
7 o'clock, they pay respects to the frontline workers in New York, and they do a similar thing in the UK. So big shout out to everybody that's going to go out there and, you know, brave the nation or the people, so to speak. Thank you very, very much. What happened, Harrington? Because Leon Edwards got involved. A bunch of people got involved. Dan Hooker got involved. There's been a lot of shit talking.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just saw the Dan Hooker stuff because he is City Kickboxing, which is where Israel Adesanya trains, and they're obviously close friends. He retweeted a video of Holly Holm doing a TikTok dance, and then the guy had put Tyron Woodley singing his latest Fallen In and Out of Love next to it, and he just tweeted, you know, like a lot of laughing emojis with it, to which Woodley responded, "Izzy, you're pimp, I see. You're quite the obedient woman of the night. You made a living off of taking shots and finding your way to come back. Hashtag bending you over with style. Hashtag too easy." Hooker responded once again, mocking Woodley's music. "You should get in a comedy, champ. I promise 100%. It can't be worse than your rap career."
Falling in and out of love with you. Falling in and out of love with you. Crazy in love with you. In and out of love with you. It's fucking number one, bro. That's a big hit right there.
I don't know what the fuck you're doing. I'm assuming is the Tyron Woodley song.
No, have you not seen it? That's what they're tagging him on. It's Tyron Woodley singing. With auto-tune on or something. No, he's singing. That's like the falling in and out of love, in and out of love with you. And they keep... Do you not follow Gilbert Burns on Twitter? Gilbert Burns on Twitter is constantly retweeting it. It's pretty funny, but it gets in your head. You know what I mean? I'm not here to knock Tyron out. I'm all for anybody trying to do what they can, but it is funny when they talk shit. Israel Adesanya versus Tyron Woodley. Not going to happen anytime soon. As we always know, the guy in the lower weight class, he's the one that's got a gain from all of this. And it's good for Tyron Woodley. I mean, he can't even get a fight right now with Kamaru Usman, the welterweight champ, let alone the middleweight champ. But again, I saw Chael Sonnen talking about this actually on his podcast, and he's right. I think stylistically, Tyron Woodley would probably give Adesanya some kind of issues. You know, he's a similar opponent to Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
And we saw how that went out. I think it would be a similar fight. I reckon Izzy would win, you know. But,
Tyron, almost exact an identical fight to Yoel Romero. Mm. And to be honest with you, I mean, Tyron's got to get some wins at 170. I mean, we're talking about fighting the 185-pound champion. It's fine. It's his fantasy. And I don't think that Tyron's doing the thing that sometimes guys do, which is just sort of throw out a challenge just to look cool because they know it's not going to happen anyway, so there's nothing to lose. I think Tyron would love to get that fight, and he's trying to angle for it, but it's just like, doggy, get a couple. Tyron's great. He's a really, really talented fighter. Get a few wins at 170, make your way back up and fight for the title, win that title, and then the sky's the limit. But, I mean, to be looking anywhere near, even past the next opponent, seems a little bit fucking crazy. It seems just a little bit out of touch of what's going on with his career.
So he said four fights, then he'd like to move up. So I would say those four fights would have to be Colby Covington, right? Kamaru Usman, Leon Edwards. I think they're the three obvious ones. Who would be the fourth? Who am I missing? Masvidal.
Yeah, Masvidal. Or a super fight in there. Get a big 170-pound Conor McGregor fight. All right, Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about CBDMD, which is such an incredible company. Amazing CBD products. If you don't know what CBD is, it is the non-psychoactive component in marijuana, in hemp. It doesn't get you high. It is legal in 50 states. This is not a drug to be used for recreational purposes. This is the medical side when you hear about medical marijuana. This is what we're talking about. And there's so many benefits that CBD can help with, everything from physical pain to insomnia, trouble sleeping. If you have any sort of anxiety, it's great for that. Go on to Google right now and see if CBD can help you with an affliction that you might have.
Yeah, well, as you said, the anxiety, I feel a lot of people are struggling with that one right now. And CBD will help, as you said. Just look it up online. You will see that it does help a massive variety of ailments, for want of a better word. And of course, CBDMD, they offer some of the best quality CBD on the market at some of the most competitive prices per milligram, which we know is important to a lot of people. Fortunately, also, CBDMD have a massive variety of different ways for you to ingest your CBD. They got the recover, they got the freeze, they got the gels. They got bath bombs. They got any kind of way that you can imagine to ingest your CBD. They do it. And let me tell you, I absolutely love this company. If you listen to this podcast, you've heard these stories before, but I can only talk about what's true to me, and that is my parents. Right? My dad came over here. He was walking on a stick. He could hardly walk for longer than 50 yards. And I was really, really concerned about the guy. Gave him a ton of CBD that CBDMD kindly sent to me every month. I said, Dad, take this stuff with you. Next time he came back out to California, he's walking along totally fine. I'm like, oh shit, Dad, you're good. Your leg's fine. He's like, yep. And as I say, you've heard the story before, but it is true. He said, ever since I started taking the CBD, his hips and his back don't hurt him anymore. And now he can walk normally as well. So do give it a try. Unfortunately, CBDMD, we have a fantastic offer for our listeners, Lewis.
Yeah, recently they extended this. It used to be a discount. They used to give 20% off. They've extended it in the past few weeks to 25% off if you go to CBDMD.com right now and use the promo code BYM when you check out. Promo code BYM, CBDMD.com. That's the website. Very simple, five letters, CBDMD, and you save 25% off your CBD products. This is an incredible deal right now. Everyone's trying to save some cash. Make sure you do it. They are really the best company to get your CBD products from.
I don't know if you know this, Lewis, but 25% is actually a quarter. A quarter. I mean, that's insane.
Wow. The math skills for Bisping never end. They never end.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And the code is BYM. Check it out, cbdmd.com. All right, where were we?
Two things. Number one, you love the show. Go to our iTunes right now. Leave us a five-star ranking and a positive review. We love the reviews. We love the positive feedback. Also on Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can get the latest 30 episodes of the Believe in Me podcast. Our YouTube channel is really blowing up right now as well. I think we're at like 75,000 subscribers, up from 50,000 just a few months ago. So you guys have been killing it. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you want to support the show directly, if you guys want to get access to the entire on-demand library, every episode of the podcast that we've ever done from the very beginning, go through the entire library and check out all the other great Gas Digital podcasts, including Legion of Skanks and Real Ass Podcast, both of which I host. You can go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code BYM30 for a 30-day free trial. You get a 30-day trial right now for the premium service.
Hey.
So, yeah, I mean, look, Tyron, he's really great. I just think that the whole Izzy thing is a little bit bizarre. And also, I think that's a tough fight for Tyron Woodley. Just stylistically speaking, Tyron, he's been known to gas in the past. He slows down. And I think that Israel Adesanya would just be able to stay away. He wouldn't be able to take him down. And to be honest with you, Tyron, he's got power, but he doesn't have the type of skills standing up to be able to out-kickbox Israel Adesanya.
I think, to be honest, Tyron Woodley's he's kind of frustrated. He needs to fight, right? They always say in mixed martial arts or combat sports, you're only as good as your last fight. His last fight was a very one-sided decision against Kamaru Usman, right? He lost that fight. He lost his belt. He's pissed off. He's embarrassed. It was a shitty night at the office. It was a shitty night at the office, and you do have them, right? Sometimes you go to work, you don't have the best day. That's the problem with fighting. That's the problem with professional sports. I mean, think about it. If you're in a football team, that's okay, because next week you can go out there and maybe eradicate that performance. You can go out there in 2 or 3 days, right, and have another game and fucking do fantastic. But in mixed martial arts, Look at Tyron Woodley. It's been 15, 16 months.
It's also a way different thing. Like, that's a fucking game where you're throwing a ball around. It's kind of silly when you really break it down. Not only you got to wait another however many months, even in the best case scenario, you got to wait 4 to 6 months to get your next fight. But you also just got your ass kicked in front of your friends, family, teammates, kids, girlfriend, wife, whatever it is. There's a whole other level of ego. It's a one-man sport. It's you by yourself. If you lose, it is completely on you. There's no excuses. And if you make excuses, everyone will fucking flame you for it. There's times where it's like, oh shit, you know what? The defense just wasn't working and we couldn't get it together. And you know, none of my receivers were, there's none of that shit in MMA. So it is a way, way different thing. It's such a, the stakes are such a higher level.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's why he wants to fight, right? Because the only way you can eradicate that, as I was saying, is to fight again and have a good performance. But he does need to take responsibility for that fight. You can't just say, oh, it wasn't even me. I don't even remember that, right? Because at the end of the day, it was you. You were in there. But I do understand what he's saying to a certain degree. The only problem for Tyron Woodley right now, and for a lot of people, Daniel Cormier is another one as well. Like Tyron, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's 35, 36. I'm not saying he's going to retire anytime soon. But as I say, his last fight was last year. I think it was last January. So probably 16 months since his last fight. That's 16 months on the sidelines. That's 16 months when you're getting closer to retirement. I can't imagine him fighting past 40. Maybe he could, but you know, but odds on he won't. That's a year and a half almost that he's wasted. Daniel Cormier just came out yesterday and said, I think my last ever fight, because DC said his next fight is his last fight and he's adamant on that. He said, I think my next fight will be in front of no crowd. So I'm going to have my retirement fight after such a stellar career, an outstanding career, two weight division champion. His final fight where he gets to say farewell to everybody, there'll be no crowd. And that's probably a real, you know, a real possibility for him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I don't know. We really have to see, because it's like, we'll see. I think it's going to sort of be state by state this summer. I mean, there's things that are being planned for this summer. There's comedy tours and concerts and things like that. So we'll see. I mean, if DC is saying that, what I'm sort of taking from that is that he probably is already negotiating his next fight, and there's probably a date that's being thrown out there, and it's probably for this summer.
Yeah, well, Harrington just messaged us here in the group chat. Tyron is 38. 38. You know, I don't know when he's 39, but he's not spring chicken, so he hasn't got time to waste. So no wonder he's saying that he wants to fight a lot. You know, I'm just looking at the notes here, and I wasn't going to talk about this, but I will just mention it real fast because it was in the news yesterday. You might have seen it. John McDessie from the UFC. Did you see that, Lewis?
I did see this. What's up with that, Mr. Bisping? Shed some light on this. He's not a fan of yours, apparently.
Yeah, so he's John McDessie's a UFC fighter. He fought in Brasilia, where I commentated recently with no crowd. And he said he watched the fight back, and he said that my commentary was biased and my commentary was off, and I'm not even a good commentator. I don't even know why the UFC uses me, and I was unbiased. And he said it's because I say that he owes me money and all this type of shit. Basically, he's just trying to assassinate my good character, Lewis. That's what he's trying to do. And I'm not going to rise to it. That's why I said I don't want to talk about it, but I'll mention it real fast. Listen, he was involved in a brand called Fear the Fighter. Him and his brother owned it. And I was sponsored by them. I was sponsored by them for a year, did three fights, and they never paid me. So they owe me money. And it's a lot of money as well. But it is what it is. It's water under the bridge. I let it go. I let it pass. I'm professional. When I'm calling a fight, when I'm commentating, I call it how I see it, okay? I don't let outside things sway my judgment on what I say. It's called being professional, Mr. McDessie. That's all I will say. I'm a professional. I suggest you to do the same. I suggest you to be professional as well, okay? You lost your fight. It wasn't the best fight. Don't blame me, buddy. Don't blame me. Anyway, moving on. Had to address that because he put it out there, the little swine trying to badmouth me.
And I'll say, I mean, because I know the character of Michael Bisping, and I won't defend Michael Bisping. Michael Bisping, you know, I do not love defending Michael Bisping. What else? I will say, there are plenty of people that you called fights for that you don't love, and you call them very fairly. You're not, you know, It's not like you're gonna.
I'm a miserable bastard. Yeah, I don't like the majority.
Like anybody.
I don't like the majority of people stepping in there.
Yeah, I mean, listen. For the most part, I don't know. I don't have personal relationships with a lot of people in the UFC. I mean, obviously, I have a lot of friends, a lot of co-workers, people I've known for a long time. But you know, having a personal relationship, liking them, disliking them, is not a prerequisite to being a good commentator. I take that job seriously and I totally take out any biases. You know, when you're trying to watch a fight, you're going to be impartial. So John, listen, I get it. You're frustrated. You lost a fight. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to address that real fast. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Where else shall we go now? So, oh, this one's good. Luke Rockhold. He's coming back. He's coming back. I mean, listen, come on. We all celebrated. We were all very, very happy to hear that Luke Rockhold is claiming that he's getting that itch again. What did he say, Harrington?
Well, Luke Rockhold, as you know, you alluded to, says he's got the itch. I'm getting healthier, and I might just be getting that itch. We'll see. A lot of interesting choices. If Anderson is still interested, and seemingly he is, maybe, you never know. Wyman's got a fight coming up. If something, if he comes out of that well, you never know. There's options.
Lewis, anything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, good for him. Good for him. I mean, he's definitely choosing the right opponents. I could see Anderson Silva versus Luke Rockhold being a fight that would make sense. You know.
It's I feel sorry for Luke Rockhold. I do. Right. We're all here's the thing. I knocked him out. Yoel knocked him out. Jan knocked him out. So it's bad. Three out of his last four fights, he got knocked out unconscious. So generally at that point in your career, I know certainly if it was boxing, they would say, listen, it's time to end. Right? The story is over. You've got nothing left to give or to prove. You were the champion, right? You managed to win the belt. You did fantastic. You had a good career. But just lately, it's not happening. You lost three out of your last four in devastating fashion. They were bad knockouts. All those three knockouts, he was unconscious. They were bad. And that definitely takes its toll on your fighting career. It takes its toll on his brain, on you know, putting together coherent sentences. You know what I mean? Listen, can he still compete? Absolutely. Listen, Luke, Henry Hooft, his striking coach, said this, I think it was this week or last week, he was saying how Luke Rockhold is the most technical striker or technical fighter that he's ever trained and taken on the pads. And that's a big claim coming from Henry Hooft, because he's been training kickboxers in Amsterdam for years and years, okay? He knows striking. And he said, listen, Rockhold is the best he's ever taken on the pads. But still, the fact you get knocked out so much, I mean, listen, I wish Luke all the best. I'm not here to shit on him. If he wants to fight again, I mean, I'll definitely watch it.
I thought you were going to say you would go. Like, I'll come out of retirement right now. Let's go.
You know, that's the fight that he wants. You know, in my documentary, obviously me winning the belt is a big part of the documentary. But then it cut to him, and because he did an interview.
And he did an interview for the doc?
He did an interview for the documentary, ooh, which is great of him. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say the nicest things, let's be honest. But still, he gave up his time and he said a few words. And then after that, initially, it had me winning the belt. And then it cuts to Luke on a couch and he's sitting there. And he talks some shit about me. And he says, yeah, he can give me a third fight. Because the director says, what could he do to make it right? And he says, he can give me a third fight. And then he gets up and walks off. Right. And I'm like, cut that bit out. Okay. That can't be in the documentary. Number one, I've just won the belt. It ends on a high. Let's leave it at that. Don't cut to Rockhold and let him have the last say. And then his last word is also, he could give me a third fight. I said, that makes it look like I'm ducking the motherfucker. I retired because I've got one eye. Don't make it look like Luke's fucking itching and clawing for that third fight.
This isn't a real world question, but it's a stupid, silly question, but also kind of a real question in its own way. I have to preface it because it's dumb, okay? And okay, don't fucking flame me for this question.
All right.
Luke Rockhold says, I want to fight Michael Bisping. Come out of retirement, Bisping. I will put an eye patch over my eye. We are completely even. Would you come out of retirement? Would you fight Luke Rockhold under those parameters?
Oh, baby, baby, baby. I will fight anyone under those conditions because they have got no idea how fucking hard it is, okay? We won't stick it on with a piece of elastic because that'll come loose at parts. We're gonna glue it on with a special glue that will stay stuck to the skin for, you know, 24 hours, but then will naturally fade off, right? Okay? Because if you've got one eye, trust me, there's an adjustment period. It took me a while to get used to fighting with one eye.
So you're, okay? You'd be at a massive advantage. They would have to fight.
Massive. It'd be like, they're freaking out. Listen, and as I said to my brother, because my brother, obviously, if you listen to this podcast for a while, you probably know he had a pickaxe stuck in his head when he was serving for the army. And he is pretty much blind, right? And I remember at the time, I said to Comrade, I was trying to make him feel better. I said, Comrade, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. But I never thought I'd be saying that to myself because it is true. And in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. The one-eyed man that's been one-eyed for the longest time, as opposed to the guy that just became one-eyed, he's definitely a super king. Okay, so Luke Rockhold would be fucked in that environment. Yes. Yeah,
not good. So that's it. So Luke, if you want, but it's not going to help you.
Stipe, DC, anybody. One anybody. Eye. With the one eye challenge.
Do you think you can beat any man alive with one eye right now?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Line them up. I'll knock them down. That's a fact. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny. Shit. It's funny. No, but listen, if Luke wants to fight again, I'd like to see him fight again. I would, because he's a tremendously talented mixed martial artist, and he has some great fights, you know. And, to be honest, I talked a lot of shit about him. He talked a lot of shit about me. So it's all fair in love and war. But as I say, I do wish him the best, and I'd like to see him fight again. I'd also like to see him retire.
It's a weird thing, right? So there are guys like Luke Rockhold is a really talented guy, right? Really talented. And to be honest with you, it's almost unfair to say because Luke Rockhold is substantially more talented than a lot of guys that are on the UFC roster that are, you know, up and comers, guys that haven't really proven themselves. Once you cross a certain threshold, once you are a champion, once you fought for a title, once you're a marquee fighter, it's just top level talent. That's that. So it's a weird thing. So you'll have guys that Luke Rockhold could kick the shit out of like half the guys on the roster, but you still have the conversation of like, well, maybe it's time for him to hang up the gloves.
Who did Blachowicz just fight? He just knocked somebody out. Oh, Corey Anderson in Albuquerque. So, you know, there's no shame losing to Blachowicz, as he, I should say, Blachowicz, not Blachowicz. He knocked out Rockhold, then he knocked out Corey Anderson, and he's probably going to fight John Jones for the belt. So this is a guy that's potentially going to fight for the 205 belt. You know, he got knocked out against me, got knocked out against Yoel and Blachowicz. So they're three top of the food chain guys. So no shame in that. And Luke, I wish you all the best. What else have we got on here? I see a little talk about Justin Gaethje here. Harrington, what has Justin Gaethje been saying? Whenever you're ready, take your own time.
Sorry,
it's okay. It's okay.
I had just read something right before this, so I wasn't sure if I'd put that in the notes. Ooh, or not.
Break it down. The suspense is killing me.
Okay, Justin Gaethje said that when he was announced to headline the May 9th card, nobody had called him and confirmed that.
What do you mean? So it was announced that he was fighting, but nobody had reached out to him.
Yeah, so apparently, the way Justin Gaethje says it, because he had agreed to fight on the April 19th card, Dana White just penciled him in that, yeah, he'd be down to fight on May 9th. So when Dana came out and made the announcement that they were going to do a super card on May 9th, that Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson was going to headline it. And Justin was like, well, where's my call?
Yeah. Hold on a minute. See, it's all popular to talk shit about UFC, but is Justin Gaethje taking the fight?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so Dana was right. He was right. He's like, yeah, he'll take the fight. He wants the fight. In fact, he wanted to take it on 2 weeks' notice. Now, guess what? Now you got 4 weeks' notice. Now you got 6 weeks' notice. It's better for you. You wanted the fight on short notice? Now you're going to get it on a regular notice for the same money. Maybe you're going to get paid more. Who fucking knows? But he was right. Dana was right to make that call.
Yeah, can we just skip the formalities? We know what's going to happen here.
Yeah, it's that, oh, do I have to really give you a call to give you a bout agreement and tickle your balls a little bit? Yeah. Like, Justin, you want to fight for the belt, right? You want to fight Tony Ferguson. You want to fight Khabib. Well, here you go. So,
you're having sex with a prostitute, and she's like, yeah, but we have to have dinner first. Like, what are you talking about? You're a prostitute. You know what you're here for.
Not sure if I get the comparison, but okay,
you get the whatever. Analogy.
We'll roll with it. We'll go with it. But Harrington, the initial point, what is he saying about the belt?
Well, like you said, it is a path to Khabib. Justin Gaethje says a win over Tony doesn't see the interim title as anything more than that path. When they wrap that belt around me, it won't be a destination. It's a map to the top. That's who I'm looking at. It'll be nice to have the belt wrapped around me, but for sure, it won't mean the same. It won't mean I'm a world champion in the UFC.
And he's right, you know, and that's very decent of Justin to say that, but he knows where he's at. He knows because they share management. Khabib, Habib is the champion, and that's undisputed, right? It's not even open for debate. The man is undefeated, and he's very, very dominant. So he's clearly the champ. Now, for whatever reason you want to call it, they're making this for an interim belt, which, as we've said a million times, is just solidifying you as the next contender. The number one contender makes it a little sexy. It gives you a nice little present, a little trophy to take home, nice little collector's piece. It'll be worth a bit of money one day. And it just makes the occasion more special. But he's right. Justin Gaethje won't be a champion. He'll be the next in line to fight Khabib.
Yeah. Yeah, Justin Gaethje is the man, though. He always says the right thing. He understands how to, the talking points, whatever it is, even if he doesn't believe it. Sometimes Tyron Woodley needs to take a page out of Justin Gaethje's book. Because I feel like Tyron Woodley is always just saying sort of the wrong thing. And he's such a fucking great fighter that I just feel like just sometimes, like, he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah, the problem with Tyron, and I'm not shitting on Tyron, I work with Tyron, he's a great guy and he's a tremendous fighter, but he's always playing the victim. And I think that's what people don't resonate with. Mm-hmm. He often, I shouldn't say always playing the victim, doesn't always play the victim, but often in his interviews, and I don't know if they're taking things out of context because I don't read them all, but I do see the headlines, and I'll be Tyron Woodley says X, Y, Z, and it's always some whine or moan or bitch about something. And I think, and as I say, they could be taking those words out of context because, MMA media are well known for doing that, but still, I think when the average person on the street reads them and sees former world champion or world championship fighter say, woe is me, I'm not getting the chances I deserve, yada, 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 they find it hard to sympathize with them, and it's hard for them to resonate and feel bad for that person when they're working shitty, dead-end 9-to-5 jobs, 7-to-5 jobs, 6-to-5 jobs for next to no money. You see what I'm saying? So people have a hard time kind of, getting on board with what he's saying. But still, we're not here to shit on Tyron. He's a tremendous fighter. And, hey, listen, here's the thing. Tyron Woodley does have the ability to get the belt back, He definitely does have the ability to knock out Kamaru Usman. That fight with Colby and Kamaru was a close fight with Colby and Kamaru. And if Tyron came with a different game plan and was definitely more active, there's no reason why he couldn't be the champion again one day is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to give some balance stuff here. I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on Tyron because I'm not. I'm not. I'm just giving an honest, frank review.
I think this was kind of an interesting thing to switch gears here. And you have a lot of experience in the world of shooting action movies and fight scenes in movies. But Halle Berry, she just filmed the movie with Valentina Shevchenko. I don't remember, maybe Harrington fills in on the name of the movie. It's an MMA movie, but apparently she broke some bones. She said, I broke some stuff on this one. It's okay. I always get hurt. But I realized when you go too hard, you're bound to get hurt. When you do your own stunts, you're bound to get hurt. In this movie, I was fighting a real UFC flyweight champion, Valentina Shevchenko. And you know what? She had to throw some real kicks and had to really take them. And that really broke some bones. She's a beast, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So she broke some bones.
You think bullshit. Nothing against Halle Berry, okay? And I don't know her from Adam. I've never met her. I'm sure she's a lovely person. She seems very nice. I see that she's doing some special giveaway with Dana White this for May 9th. You can hang out with Halle Berry. She's going to take you out to dinner. You see all that shit? I mean, it's a pretty fucking amazing prize. You get flown to Vegas, business class flights, put up in a hotel, you get spending money, you hang out with Dana, you go to dinner with Halle Berry, and you get to watch the fights with Dana and Halle Berry. I mean, come on, that's a pretty amazing prize. So she seems like a lovely person. But I don't think she broke any bones. I know nothing on the matter. I wasn't there. I wasn't on set, but I have been on set, and I've been around these actors. They don't like to get bones broken. They don't like to get touched. They're not tough guys. They're actors, okay? And they pretend to be tough guys. And if they break bones, they can't turn up on set the next day to continue pretending to be tough guys. Why? Because they have broken bones, and therefore it costs millions of dollars. And that's why they have stuntmen. And listen, and maybe she got a couple of little boo-boos. Maybe she got a little bruise here and there. Maybe she got a little, maybe she took a little punch. But I don't think she broke any bones. But God bless her. In her mind, I don't think she's lying. In her mind, I think maybe she hurt her hand. She sprained her wrist a little bit. You know what I mean? But trust me, I've worked with a lot of actors. Okay? They're not fighters. Let's just put it like
that. Well, how hard do you guys go when you're on set? You've talked about, sparring before and doing things, on set and fucking around. Are you guys going hard enough where you could actually injure somebody like that?
Well, obviously, first and foremost, you're not making contact.
That's the first thing. You're not making contact.
Absolutely, right? Impossible.
Well, no. People can make mistakes, but you're not making contact. That's the whole idea. Like, it used to drive me crazy because, you know, I mean, when I first started, like, doing any kind of, like, action stuff or whatever, they'd be like, okay, Michael, just want to let you know, fighting on camera is different from fighting in real life. Hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to fucking strangle this guy. I'm like, yes. You mean I'm not trying to knock the actor out? Because in reality, I'm trying to knock the actor out. But you're saying I don't knock him out?
Michael, you're not going to stab this man with this sword, you see.
Yeah. I was like, fuck me. Give me a break. Are you serious? You really breaking this down to me right now? I'm like, no, the thing is, Max, it's a little different, okay? I'm like, yeah, I know. I get it. I'm not trying to hurt him. Of course, I have hurt people. Remember, I did that movie, The Anomaly. He's a good friend of mine, Noel Clark. I just had my eye done, and I wasn't used to the depth perception difference. I've told this story before, but you know, I swung.
We just had the problem with Luke Rockhold. Come on, baby boy.
Clipped him and he went down. I was like, oh shit, my bad. Listen, accidents do happen, and Halle Berry says she broke a bone. Maybe she broke a bone. What do we know? But fair play to Shevchenko. Shevchenko breaking into the movies, working with Halle Berry. I mean, that's absolutely massive. Well done to her. I mean, she's taking a really
big role in this movie.
I have no idea. I don't know, but listen, a movie with Halle Berry, one of the biggest movie stars in the world, not bad for Shevchenko. And I see Shevchenko making that kind of crossover eventually, because she is a badass. She's great with guns, obviously. We know she can fight. She's a tremendous martial artist. So she's got all the necessary skills to cross over and be a female action star. I mean, there isn't too many female action stars that are legit. Of course, it is acting, so they can pretend to be a badass. But the fans or the viewers would know that she, in reality, is a legit badass. You know what I'm saying? So there's a sales point there.
Of course. Yeah. And look, I'm a big fan of Halle Berry, or I was back in the day. This was probably my first celebrity crush as a kid, was Halle Berry in the Flintstones movie. She played Mrs. Stone. And she was, I mean, I remember seeing this movie with my mom, and I was turned on the whole, like, just uncomfortably turned on the whole time. Love Halle Berry. This, apparently, it's going to be a big movie, right? It's called Bruised.
I have no idea that, but I was never a fan of Halle Berry. I never saw Flintstones.
That's not her best work.
Well, what is her best work then? If we were to talk about Halle Berry, because I know she's classed as a pinup, right, in England. There's a show called Bow Selector. And anytime they say Halle Berry's dead, they go, Halle Berry! Right, so you're probably wondering why I did that before. But the English people that watch Bow Selector, they will know what I'm talking about. They'll know that reference. And the point they did that is because she's a good-looking girl or an attractive female. But she was never my cup of tea, but maybe I just didn't see the right movies.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, she at this point, she's not really considered a sex symbol. Back in the day, she really was. She's in the X-Men movie. She plays Storm. I think the movies that she got a lot of credit for, Monsters Ball was a big one, Swordfish.
Listen, definitely an attractive female. As I say, it's just not somebody that I had like a childhood crush on or anything like that. But yeah, good for her, man. She's great. And I
think this is going to probably be the biggest MMA movie in terms of like big budget. I don't know.
Is it
a bigger
an
star.
Actual MMA movie?
Yeah, it's called Bruised. It's an MMA. The plot is she's an MMA fighter, female MMA fighter. I believe maybe a mom that starts training or something like that. I read that somewhere. But I think that I don't know if there's a bigger star. Like, you know, Tom Hardy is like, he's a star at this point after Batman and all that other stuff. But when he did that other movie,
Spider-Man, but whatever. He was in Batman as well, but he played Venom, didn't he? But yeah. There's not too many big MMA movies out there. I didn't know this was going to be an MMA movie, so that should be great. And with Halle Berry attached, there's going to be a big budget involved. Anytime there's a big budget, you would expect it to be good, expect it to be quality, but that's not always the case. And I'll say this, for my money, there's still never been a good MMA movie done. There hasn't been one that really captures the journey, the essence, the struggle.
What's your favorite one? You got to pick a favorite.
None. I don't have one.
Guns seriously, against your head.
They're all fucking garbage. And that warrior kiss my ass as well, because that's shit. It sucks, okay? Oh, Tom Hardy's in it. Fuck Tom Hardy. Kiss my ass.
Bisping would rather be dead than pick a favorite MMA movie. They all suck.
I would rather shoot myself in the face with fucking Harrington's fucking used condom, okay? Ew. I don't know how you do that. But listen, no, they all suck. I'm going to make one. It's going to be good, I hope. But yeah, honestly, right now, like, there's some amazing boxing movies. I mean, let's start with the Rocky movies, right? The Rocky movies, for a lot of people, they think they're cheesy. If you watch them, they're fucking not. Certainly Rocky 1, 2, and 3, they're incredible. Okay, as they go on a little bit, they get definitely more commercialized and a little cheesy here and there, but still fantastic movies. Cinderella Man. I mean, what a fucking great boxing movie that is. Raging Bull. Oh my God, I take it you've seen these movies, Lewis.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
Raging Bull, you've seen
Raging Bull, I've never seen Cinderella Man. I've seen parts of it.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah,
people love that. Rocky franchise, grew up on the Rocky franchise. MMA, the problem is MMA, it's still considered a new sport. So there's a weird thing. And there's also a negative connotation with MMA where, just in general, I think, if you were to ask somebody to give you, like, you know, their elevator pitch on what MMA is, a lot of people would still go, oh yeah, fucking like Affliction t-shirt wearing fucking dude bros. Like, there's that. And it's not as boxing's like built into like the American culture. And like, you have old timey posters of guys standing like this. Like, it's a different thing. So I think it's going to take more time. And maybe a movie, like maybe a few more movies and a few more duds to come out before people start looking at it. And it just has
My issue with all the MMA movies is that they're so stereotypical, right? They don't think outside the box. They're not trying to show some young, hardworking guy trying to make ends meet, trying to change his life around and provide for his family. Everybody in every MMA movie, everyone's got a fucking mohawk, right? Everyone's got tattoo sleeves all over the place, right? Everyone's wearing tap out. Do you know what I mean? And it's just so cheesy and stereotypical. It really fucking is. It's like everyone's got an Affliction t-shirt, a mohawk, tattoo sleeves, and hey, what's up, bro? Yeah, man, killer dude, right? Mm-hmm. That isn't MMA, right? Or maybe a little subsection of MMA, but that's not MMA across the board. And I feel that all these fucking movies, they haven't hit the authenticity that MMA has, right? The struggle, that fucking day-to-day grind, that trying to come up in a sport that is still, you know, in many ways it was a fringe sport, but now it's definitely more mainstream. But yeah, none of these movies have tapped into the real struggle of an MMA fighter trying to get along in his career. They haven't. Well, I can't wait to see one done properly.
This is on Ranker.
What you call me?
No, I said on Ranker. It's a website. It's the 25 best MMA movies as voted for by fans.
All right, okay. Go through it real fast, and I'll give you a quick one-word comment.
Number one, Warrior.
Shite.
Number two, it's a big drop-off. We go from number one, which I did enjoy. I enjoyed where number two, we really dropped down very low. Never Back Down. Never Back Down, starring Sean Farris, Amber Heard, and what's his name? Heavyweight was in it. That was a UFC fighter for a while.
Kimbo?
No.
The Michael Joe White?
Big, you know, UFC fighter, big white fucking corn-fed motherfucker. What was
Josh
his
Barnett?
Name?
Josh Barnett?
No, he was never that famous. Harrington, please chime in.
Just for
I know you
sake,
fucking know
just
it.
Just give me the name of the movie.
I don't know the name of the guy. I'm thinking.
All right, next one. Number three.
Undisputed 3, Redemption.
Haven't seen it. Can't, you know, but whew, anytime we get into the third and we're giving it names like Redemption.
It's over. It's just all B movies. Yeah.
Redemption 274. This Redemption is redeemed.
And now yeah. I have to look up the cast of Never Back Down because it's driving me out of my fucking mind that I can't.
Well, this better be good. That's all I'm saying. It better be good.
Here it is right here. What the fuck's his name? Todd Duffy. There it is.
Oh, Todd Duffy. Great.
So Duffy played, a bad guy in this movie. And if you watch it, you can see in the beginning of the movie, or you'll see in different shots, like he's taking acting lessons, because you'll see in certain scenes he can't act at all. Then in certain scenes he's like, a little bit better, and it's just all out of order. It's so fucking bad.
It and that, is hold brutal. On. This is the number two MMA
this
movie.
This is the number two of all time.
See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? I rest my case. I rest my fucking case. I'll tell you, I'm trying to write a movie right now because obviously I know a bit about this space, and I'm involved in the media world as well now. And I'm trying to write a movie, but it's just, I've got the ideas, but I just don't know where to start. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm like, fuck, I've got so much content of this story that I'm going to put in, but I don't know where to start.
I know where to start.
What phase? Where should it start on the movie that you know nothing about? Where should it start?
Start with going to somebody who's written a script before and saying, hey, I have an idea for a movie. And then have that guy really structure it because you
when
do not
want to- When this motherfucker gets made, okay, I want the fucking writing credits. I want the executive producer credits.
You'll have
I
all
want
that.
The starring credits. I don't want some fucking Hollywood motherfucker taking all the cred.
I've just done a lot of writing of scripts, and it is a way different process than you think from the ground up.
Oh, no, I know. I'm working on it, but guess what we got right now, baby boy? We got time. Nothing but time. Nobody knows my story like me, motherfucker. So just how are they going to do it? They can't do it. MMA movies all suck. I'm going to make a good one. Simple as that. You heard it here first. You probably think I'm talking out my ass, but we're working on it, baby boy.
I love it.
We're working on a TV show already, but the movie is what's going to blow people's minds. Trust me.
I can't wait to watch it. I really can't. Do we have any questions?
It's definitely going to come in somewhere between Never Back Down 37 and Beatdown, which was my acting debut. It'll be somewhere in between them two.
Yeah, listen to me. I will be the first person online at the movie theater when the Michael Bisping MMA movie that's going to blow everyone's minds. Can you give us a little slice? Just something. What makes it more unique than the other ones?
Hold on. Let me get into character right here. I haven't even started. I don't know. I have got a question though for you, Lewis. September.
Yes, sir.
September 10th to 20th. Toronto International Film Festival. The debut. The premiere of Bisping, the documentary. You're going to fly up to Toronto and support your boy? You and the whole Gas Digital team?
September what?
10th to 20th.
As long as you're going to be doing Skankfest September 24th through 27th, I will 100% be in Toronto supporting my boy Michael Bisping.
Yeah, all right. Okay, maybe we'll tag team it with another one-man show or a two-man show, as it was.
We did in Toronto last time. That was perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. All right, then. So you mentioned questions a second ago. What have we got?
Do we have any? We got a couple minutes left here. If you guys want to join the conversation, bympod@gmail.com is the email address. Shoot us an email. Anything from video questions, audio questions, just regular text questions, content, pictures, videos, anything you can send, we love. If we enjoy it and play it on the show, you could wear a pair of sanitable gloves. So
there you go. Harrington O'Brien in the background lurking. Do we have any questions that we can play?
We have that one that you sent us. I'm not sure who that's from, though.
Oh, yeah. Some guy sent me this picture. A question. Said that he could never get it playing. So I'm sorry, sent it to me. I'm not having a go, Lewis. Don't get it defensive. I'm not attacking. I'm just saying he sent it in and it slipped through the net. That's all he said. It slipped through the net. So he sent it to me.
I said this on the last show. If it wasn't good, it probably slipped through the net.
Well, let's take a look at it. And we'll decide, good or bad, and whether or not I need to just step back and stay in my lane.
Happy Easter.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Allison.
And our question today is, when do you think is too young, or when do you think is the right time to start training for a little girl? I know Louis J doesn't have a little girl, but Mikey B.
My son, let me say this, pause it. My son would wreck his daughter's shit. I mean,
stop. Do that again. Same sentiment. I understand what you're saying, but just choose different words, okay? Because that sounded a little bit weird, okay? I don't even want to say what it sounded like. But respect the man's daughter, for crying out loud. She's there. She's a young, aspiring martial artist, and you gotta use that kind of language.
Her form is garbage. She's got to put the reps in. James, at this point, I'm very impressed with him. He's a sweet kid. The problem is he's too nice of a kid. He's not gonna be able to use these skill sets at any time, but he's getting really good. What do you think, Bisping? You know better than I know. I think there's no such thing as too young for a kid to start training martial arts if you're doing it the right way, obviously. Teaches you even on the most basic levels, just working with the team environment, you know, listening to instruction, you know, it's a different thing. So I watch my son from going at home, whereas he listens, obviously he's a good kid, but you'll have to ask him three times. Whereas you put him into a martial arts class, you got to ask him once. He's very focused. You sort of see the difference. So I don't think there's really anything as too young, but Bisping, you could definitely shed a much better picture on that.
Well, there's zero downside. There is zero downside to putting your children in martial arts, regardless of what age. And I don't think there's any age that's too young, because if, you know, you go into some jiu-jitsu schools or martial art, taekwondo, whatever it is, and they see little three-year-olds on there, right? And if there's a three-year-old in there, then they're typically training with other three-year-olds. And all they're doing at that time is getting used to being involved in a class environment, getting used to wearing a gi. And, you know, they're getting initiated, baptized into the martial arts world. But they're not doing anything too strenuous. They're not learning anything. They're just getting used to being in that environment. But then as they get older, they can start, you know, they've already got a head start on that. They have a somewhat of a concept of what mixed martial arts is or what martial arts are, regardless of whatever art you're doing. And certainly for a young girl, it's fantastic. Certainly Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'm trying to get Meganelli and Rebecca doing jiu-jitsu. I'm trying to do it. I keep saying I'm going to get the mats out. We're going to do some jiu-jitsu class, but they're not really too keen on the idea. Unfortunately, if a man was trying to sexually assault a woman, we've said this before, where do they want to be? They want to be in a woman's guard. If you do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, where do you want your opponent? You want them between your legs. So unfortunately, I'm not saying, I know that's very crude, but that's the reality of a situation. If a woman is proficient in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and a guy tries to rape her, fucking good luck, buddy, because you're going to sleep pretty quick, especially if you're some little shitty little weasel rapist, right? If you're if you're a guy that's out there raping people, I'm just going to say you're a piece of shit, and you're not going to be the most athletically gifted, okay? You're going to be a pussy, you're going to be weak mentally, and a woman will put you to sleep if she knows how to slap on a triangle.
Now, if that rapist knows jujitsu, we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble here.
If that rapist has been working, the triangle escapes.
Oh my God. Okay?
And has a single iota of technique. It can overpower a woman any day of the week. Like, to be honest, I'll be honest. Like, Ellie, you need to learn Japanese jujitsu. She's so weak. She could be a fucking
she can be a black belt.
Black belt fucking all day long, right? But whoosh, one back slap, one backhand, and that's it. She'd crumble. She would not put up a fight. I'm sorry. Okay.
If he knows jiu-jitsu, look, he's gonna slip in the outside half guard. You're like, well, we didn't expect that. Now he's in the perfect position.
No, listen. To answer your question, there is no too young of an age. She definitely does need to learn how to kick properly, though, because I noticed when she connected with the father's thigh, she almost fell over. But that's a great video. Good luck. Thanks for sending it in. I appreciate it.
And, and I'll say this, because my son does jiu-jitsu right now, and now it's all done online because of what's going on right now. And it's like, on that side of it, I will say it's really cool to watch. So in other forms of martial arts with kids, boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, Taekwondo, whatever it is, they really can just go in and they can drill, and they can do these drills, and they can strike some pads, and they can do what they can do. But it's not as practical as jiu-jitsu, because with jiu-jitsu, at the end of every class, these 6 and 7 year old kids, they go and they roll and they spar and they do it in a safe environment. You know, they don't teach them, they really restrict certain things. So they're not using like really violent moves. They're not doing any like leg locks or anything like that. But they're actually putting it in practice in a very, very practical way. They're really doing it. I'm watching my son get out of positions using jiu-jitsu, and you really aren't. Taekwondo, they're never striking each other in the face. In a boxing class, you're not having 7-year-old kids punch each other in the head, and they shouldn't. If they are, get the fuck out of that class. So I think for a younger kid, I think jiu-jitsu is probably the best, the absolute best thing a kid could do, just for that reason.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree, but I'm not necessarily going to agree either. I think any martial art at that age, at a very, very young age, yeah, they're all beneficial. They're all, you know, it's all about at that age when you're dealing with young kids, you're dealing with 4, 5, 6, 7, even anything up to 10 years old, right? You're trying to teach them, first and foremost, getting used to that environment, right? Getting used to sticking to a schedule, building their confidence, going out there, you know, because a lot of the times when it's kids, jiu-jitsu, whatever, they'll pick two people. They line them up. They match them up in front of the entire class. The rest of the class is sitting down, and then the two kids go at it, you know, against one another. And then, you know, the rest of the class gives a little tap on the floor and says, well done. You know, that's nerve wracking for a child, you know, to go out there and go one on one against another kid. So they're building confidence. They're getting used to taking instructions. They're right. Getting them out of the house instead of just sitting there at home, scrolling their fucking iPad. Get them down doing the jujitsu for an hour, burn some calories, meet some new friends, build some confidence. I mean, learn all some those fucking little skills muscles
that they're
might save your life one day.
Into before they can even realize what's going on. I wish I had a parent when I was a kid that gave a fuck to push me and to encourage me to do those things, because I tried a couple things and I never stuck to anything. I never had somebody, it wasn't even like, I'm not like strict with my kid where I'm like, you have to go to jiu-jitsu. But if there's a day where he doesn't really feel like going, he just gets encouragement in a way. And I try to, you know, I remind him that he really likes it and that he's going to see his friends there that he doesn't really get to see unless he goes there. So it's just, and it's a constant struggle to do that because kids do have ADD and they're constantly looking at different things and video games and they want to do this, that, and the other. But it really is. I mean, the skill set, he doesn't even realize it, but one day, God forbid a bully ever tries to take him down when he's 11 years old, he doesn't even realize that he's going to have all this muscle memory just built in where he's going to be able to just get on top of this kid and protect himself. And it's a pretty amazing thing. And that's why I think the sparring side of it, it's really, really good because it's very, very practical.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I do the same thing with Lucas. Like, I try to take him in the garage a couple of times a week and do some striking work, and we've just started doing it. But I always have to say to him, I say, look, Lucas, because the difference is, I think you mentioned it before, if you're in a class environment, right, and you're with a sensei or a teacher, an instructor, mm-hmm. they'll do what they're told. They won't argue, whatever, but I'm dad, right? I'm his dad and this and that. So I say, okay, if we go in the garage, right, and we do a training session, we're not messing around. You've got to do whatever I say, right? This is not mess around time. You can't argue back, right? This is very much, I'm the instructor and you're the student and you do as you're told. And I got to be honest, he's pretty good with it. He doesn't really argue or push back on anything. He gets a little fed up at times, but yeah. All right, there you go. That's the show, I think. We will be back Monday with another one. So enjoy yourself, look after yourself, have a great weekend, all that good stuff. And until Monday, take care.